Here's a line that'll challenge your faith. When I read it, I found it hard to take in. But God doesn't determine when your blessing manifests. I think that goes against everything that we've been taught all of our lives. That God is in control. That if we commit everything to the Lord, He'll bring it to pass. But if you really look into it, if you really look into it, this is what God has done. He is subject the spirit of the prophets to the prophets. He is subject His blessings to us. He's not the one who determines when. And you say, well, how can that be? Because if you look at salvation, that's exactly what He's done. In Jesus Christ, He died for all. In Jesus Christ, there is no one that's not covered. And it's God's will that all would be saved. Then why don't we see it? Why don't we see everyone saved right now? Because God's not the one that determines that. You and I are. We could have been saved sooner than we were. And if you understand that principle, then you understand how it works. God's not the one who determines when. God's not the one that determines how, when, where, what. Because He's already done it. He's already decided. Now I know many of you have heard this little saying, in His time. How many of you have heard that? In His time, right? And oftentimes that's interpreted to mean there's nothing we can do about it. We just need to trust and put our trust, our complete trust in Him. And in His time, He'll work it all out. There is truth to that, but there's also misunderstanding to that. Today is the day of salvation. That's the scripture. You can find it in 2 Corinthians 6:2. For He says, in an acceptable time I have heard you. In the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable or accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Salvation is more than just a ticket to heaven. It's provision. It's protection. It's presence. It's healing. It's everything that God has already decided to do. It's already been given. In this verse, He says, and in the day of salvation, I have helped with an ED. Already done it. Helped you. So, for someone to be saved, for someone to find Christ, someone must be preached to. Someone must receive it. God's not the one that determines that. If He could, you would hear His voice right now from all over the world. Get saved. Repent. Right? You would hear it from heaven. But He's given it to us. It's our dominion. One of the things that you and I have got to understand and never let go is that what dominion means is that it's up to us. It's up to us to accept what God has done. It's up to us to accept and move in what God has done and not to let it go, to not be talked out of it. And one of the ways in which we can be talked out of it is to think, in His time. If I said to you, in His time, He will save you. In His time, He will save you. Would that hit you right? Think about it. Would that hit you right? No. Because you know now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to be saved. If it takes time for salvation, it's because something else has made it take time. Something else. We got people at church, at work, who are hearing the gospel and they've got issues. There's a reason why they're not accepting Jesus right now. And it's not God doing it. It's them. It's something they've been taught, something they've been wrestling with. As in the one case, they're angry at God because of pregnancy that failed. How many of you believe that God made that pregnancy fail? You know better, don't you? You know better. It's not God. I put a little booklet together. God is not in control. Man, that's a spooky one for a lot of people, because they've heard that all of their life. God is in control. In His time, right? I want you to know something. God has overall control. But He does not control what happens on this earth. You and I do. How many of you got up this morning and you decided when you would get dressed? You mean God didn't do that for you? God's in control. I bet you decided when you'd go to the bathroom too. Right? Maybe you said, no, my body's in control. I want you to realize this is a true principle that's going to either empower you if you embrace it, or it's going to steal from you if you don't. God's not in control of the people. And He's not in control of you either. The only time He's in control of you is when you give Him control. And guess what? You have to keep giving Him control. And keep giving Him control. Because He's never going to take control from you. Oh, think about that. You must pick up your cross daily. You must choose to follow daily. Yes, I know we pray these blanket statements. God, You're in control of my life. And He's saying to you, yeah, then take my word and speak it into your life. Then take my word and run with it. If I'm in control of your life, then speak what I would speak. If I'm in control of your life, then think what I would think. Then imagine what I would imagine and do what I would do. And you say, well, that's hard. I get it. That's why we need a Savior. Look, this little booklet I put together just to thwart that teaching that says God is sovereign and in control of everything. He's not. He gave it to us. But that's not the end of the story. He gave us His word. He gave us His grace. He gave us His spirit. And He says, now walk in it. Now who's deciding? Who's deciding in your life whether you're going to walk in the Spirit or not? Let me know when you know the answer. You mean someone else didn't decide that for you? You decided, right? You decide. You decide every moment. I have thought about this to the point of putting it in the bulletin, that when God comes into our life, He is never going to take control. Never. It's not His nature. But at the same time, He's never going to let us down either. If we give Him something, He'll go with us. He'll go with us. But the moment we pull back, He's pulling back. He's pulling back. If someone came into your house and you said to them, make yourself at home, I had someone say that to me. So I went to the refrigerator and made myself a bologna sandwich. The guy was like, what are you doing? I'm making myself at home. He says, I didn't mean that. Oh. Okay. God's not going to come into your life and make Himself at home like I did. He's only going to go as far as you let Him. And if you pull back, He pulls back. God doesn't decide how much, because He's already decided. I love that illustration with electricity. I think you got to keep this one in mind. Keep this one in mind. The power company has already decided to send power to your house. Already. Who decides if the electricity light gets turned on? We do. They don't come into my house and say, you're not spending enough, enough energy on electricity. We want these lights on. We want those on. And in fact, you will never be able to turn them off and just take over. That sounds more like demon possession. And that isn't that what we see in the scripture? That's what we find with people. God is always sensitive to our heart's condition and to the level in which we measure His presence. You got to think about that. That's pretty awesome. He is so sensitive to your heart condition, He will never override your heart. Never. You will never lose control. And if someone says, I've been so filled with the Spirit, I didn't even know what I was doing. I was going crazy. And wasn't God. Wasn't God. God comes into your life to empower you. He comes into our life to empower us to do His will. Electricity is empowering us, and as long as we abide by it, as long as we use it properly, we can use it anytime, as long as we want, when we want, where we want. Right? That's what God has done with the name of Jesus. I know that's hard to believe. I know that's hard to grasp, but it's really according to the power that's working in you. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever walk back from that. Because the moment you do, you're walking back from your power. You're giving it up. And God's not going to take it on your behalf. He's waiting for you to move. He's waiting for me to move. To believe Him that much that we get to decide. I was reading in the Gospels, and I ran across this passage in John chapter 7. And they were angry at Jesus for having healed someone on the Sabbath. And He responded, He said, if a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath, so that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry with me because I made a man completely well on the Sabbath? Now, Jesus in other places said, it's the Father who does the works in me. I don't say anything that I shouldn't be saying. I say what the Father says. I do what the Father shows me, etc. He's saying it's the Father that does the works in me. But there's something else involved here. Jesus is saying, I made him well. And you're thinking, well, he's God. That's why he did that. He didn't act as divine God to get that done. He acted as a human being with the power of the Spirit at his disposal. I used to think, well, how does this all get done? How are we supposed to use this name? And Jesus answered it to me, for me, when they were giving him a hard time about casting out demons. And he says to them, I cast out demons by the Spirit of God. I cast out demons by the Spirit of God. I cast out demons by what? The Spirit of God. I get it done by electricity. In essence, that's what he's saying. I get it done by electricity. I get it done by the Spirit of God because the Spirit of God has already given me the right to do it. I decided and I did it. With what? The power, the Spirit of God. That's how it gets done. So I looked at this passage, and Jesus says, I made the man completely well on the Sabbath. This is what I think Jesus is saying. Jesus said that it was the Father who works the works through me. But here, he says that Jesus made the man completely well. I called for it, Jesus said. I decided. I determined when this man would be healed. The healing power flowed through me by the Spirit of God. Therefore, God did the work, but I decided. There it is. It's subject to you. It's subject to me. We've been given dominion. Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do because I go to my Father. This is true about healing, but it's also true about your relationships. It's true about protection. It's true about provision. You decide. I decide. And I can only decide what's already been given. But I must decide. And if you say it's in his time, and you never decide, going to work. If you say, he's in control, but you're not doing the things that he's told us to do, he's not in control. He's being limited. This is the authority of the believer. This is what's been given to us. And we've been given this great grace and this great spirit and this great word. And we've tasted some of this. Now we need to grow up and be mature. We need to get skillful, because it's just not one little thing that's going to settle this. There are other issues involved here. We must press on. We must get better at it. When I say God is not in control, some people get afraid. But God is in you. And that gives you great control. His word, his name, his power in you. If you believe it. And that is the problem, isn't it? I put this little article in the bulletin. From a man who had great signs and wonders. And I wanted you to see this. It's at the top of the back. Actually, it's in the middle too. I just want to leave you with this thought, and we're going to go on to communion. Here's a man who had 100,000 documented healings in his life, who had power manifest in Africa in great ways. But this is what he had to say. One day my Rio car stopped right in traffic. A young lady sat with Mrs. Lake and said, "Let me try it." She worked the accelerator and it didn't work. She said, "Wait a minute." I jumped out of the car and raised the hood. She said, "I can tell you where it is." She just opened up the distributor and she said, "One of those points has got a fleck of dirt on it." She brushed it off with her handkerchief and put it on again. The car started right off. That point of the distributor had some little dust, something under it, some little corroding some way that just broke the current. And it was a delicate little thing. It didn't take much. It doesn't take much to break the connection of our spirit and his. God is spirit. You are spirit. And when something breaks the connection, the power no longer flows through. You say you want me to pray for you, and I pray for you. There is no power. What is the matter? Something has broken the connection. The power comes down through the one who prays, but it can't get through your spirit and touch you. Or there is maybe something in my spirit and his spirit to communicate with our spirit is hindered. But something, excuse me, I got a little lost there. But suppose you and I are both right in our spirits. You will get your healing as sure as God sits on the throne. I came away with this thinking, wow, that just makes it all very fragile, doesn't it? Very fragile. I don't know about you, but my computer can be very fragile. Doesn't take much. And sometimes when I'm working with technology, it doesn't take much for it not to work right. Is that true? Yeah. But we love our technology and we want it to work, so we know it's not the designer's fault. We know there's something happening in the real time here that's preventing it. As I look at this message from a man who experienced great things, very fragile, right? And you think, well, can't it be stronger than that? He'll go as far as you let him. The moment you pull back, he pulls back. Talk about fragile. I tell you what, when I consider what I'm telling you, I want to fall on my knees and worship. The God who could dominate me, who could make me think anything he wanted me to think, who's almighty, has given me this fragile relationship with him, sensitive. He won't go beyond what I'm willing to give him. He won't go beyond what I'm willing to work with him. Think about it. Are there things that can stop the power? Yeah. Doesn't take much. But thank God we've got forgiveness and a sensitivity to the Spirit if we decide to walk in the Spirit and stay in the Spirit. There are reasons why things don't work sometimes. There are reasons. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't walk away from this truth. God is depending on you to be like Jesus and all that that means. When you heal somebody, you did it. When you delivered somebody, you did it. How did you do it? By electricity? The Spirit of God made available all the time, always ready. You know why? I've heard many people say, you know, you got to beat down the throne. You got to pray until you break through. You got to reach out to heaven. I don't know if I'm making any sense to you. But sometimes you're thinking, God is so far away. I can't seem to get in touch with him. You know, it's not up to God. It's not up to God how filled you are, how much presence you experience, when you experience it. It's not up to God. He's always on. It's us. We get afraid. We walk away. We get distracted. Is this not the truth? This is the truth. We are the ones that get discouraged because we walk away. He's always on. He's always on. If it were up to him, you'd always be on too, wouldn't you? Think about it. If it were up to him, you would always be on. And thank God someday when we get to heaven, it will never be up to us again. It will always be God's will done, and we will never be off again. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Thank you for your grace, and thank you for the power that you've given us. And thank you for the truth. And help us, Lord, to work through it, to be faithful to it, to strengthen our hearts and realize what you've done and be a part of the solution and not the problem. Thank you for your grace and thank you for your forgiveness. And thank you for the power that's residing always in us. In Jesus' name, amen.